Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is obviously one of Santana's greatest hits. Thank you for playing this.
It's the state in which Santana is currently in, I believe. One toke over the line.
He is not in Mississippi. Everybody needs to stop saying that. That dude ain't getting there until the day of. Why would he get there 2 days early? That was just a bad. That was a bad. That was a bad claim from Brad on that one. That man is chilling at his house in L.A. I bet. You know,
probably taking a nap.
He might be on tour. I don't know wherever his tour is, but he ain't in Mississippi today. I can promise you that. Anyway, things happen in life, and you just have to keep rolling, bro. Jeff Calkins will join us, I can confirm, at 125.
Praise God.
So that is going to be an absolutely magnificent, magical, fantastic interview. You're not going to want to miss it. He is going to dish on the Liberty Bowl, on overrated sports days, and more at 125. And you're not going to want to miss it. Okay. Over at the Commercial Appeal, Drew Hill has caught up with the caretaker of Precious Achiuwa. His name is Shane Denully. It's his former AAU coach. Now, I am not familiar with Shane Denully. I associate, honestly, someone else with Precious Achiuwa. But clearly, Shane Denully was here on the visit. Mm-hmm. And Achiuwa lived with him for a period of time when he moved to the United States from Nigeria around the eighth grade. This is according to Drew Hill of the Commercial Appeal. And of the visit, this is what Drew Hill says. Or not what Drew Hill says, it's what Denully says according to Drew Hill. It went well. He definitely likes Memphis. They are definitely up there on the list and one of his choices in options. He definitely likes Mike Miller, Penny, and Sam Mitchell, of course. It's a unique situation with all the years that they've played in the NBA. With where he's trying to go, those are definitely the guys that can help you get there. Now, I was not on the other end of this conversation. I don't know what the tone was. I don't know how it was. But does that not sound like somebody to you who's really just trying to give away nothing?
Yeah, it's like coach speak.
Yeah, like he's mm-hmm. they're definitely one of his options. Well, we know that, Shane. You visited it twice.
And it's definitely unique because of the coaching staff.
Yeah, like it sounds a little bit like you're just trying not to give away too much here. You know, one way or the other. You know what I mean?
What you'd expect with a high profile prospect like this.
Right. So that's what he said on Memphis. He said in terms of how he would fit, what Memphis is trying to do with him is really unique. They are trying to have him play modern-day basketball where he, at his size, wouldn't be limited to playing on the wing. He wouldn't be just playing defense and shooting from the corner. He says Hardaway's vision would allow Achiuwa to play multiple positions and even take the ball up the floor at times. He's playing point, baby. We knew it. Precious Achiuwa,
Another point guard.
If he gets the ball off the rim, he can take it up and make plays. Those are the areas where they said they want to help him, making decisions in transition for other players and also for himself. All right, so let's just kind of keep track of who is willing to play point guard and who has been promised point guard minutes next year. Damian Ball, DJ Jeffries, now Precious Achiuwa, Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax. Anybody else?
I don't think you got them.
James is going to play some point. He can bring that thing up.
They mess around and get R.J. Hampton.
R.J. Hampton.
That's what he does.
Denully went on to say about sort of their approach. I thought it was neat because those guys just got into college basketball. They've already adapted to that new school of basketball. Penny is from AAU, so he knows how things are. Mike is just great. And Sam tells you what you don't want to be told, but what you should be told. There's a unique situation about playing for those three because they are all different. And then sort of going on, I mean, it's a very good piece, and I hate to read it all on the air, but, I mean, that's just the way this cookie crumbles. Denali goes on to say that the visit was different from the first one because, remember, Precious Achiuwa came in for Memphis Madness. Mm-hmm. He came in for that Memphis Madness visit in October, and that was an unofficial. This one wasn't a bit. So it's going to, the nature of it's going to be totally different anyway. Like, you're just going to be wined and dined in a way you were not able to be before. But Denali says last time they didn't have Wiseman and they didn't really have the layout with the roster and a plan. This time they had an idea of the roster and the entire layout is there. It's easier to define what they need from him with the team that they have now. What stuck out the most was just that they seemed 1 year into college because before they were starting this for the first time, now they know more and went through it, so they know what they need.
Yeah. I suspect there'll be, you know, the things you read about Precious right now, gifted physically, has all the tools, the wingspan, the size to play, you know, both forward positions, but can be a sort of that face-up wing guy, too, that can bring the ball up the floor. The sort of knocks on him right now is he's not very polished in terms of his basketball IQ, decision-making, when to take a shot, when to set up teammates, that kind of stuff. So I can't – look, while I know that you want to add that to your game for the NBA so you've got that option in this, you know, world of positionless basketball, it's just, I don't see him as a 6'8", 6'9" point forward going forward. Because again, those guys are running. You've got to be able to run a show. That's sort of not his game. His game is motor, get the ball up, bring the ball down on rebounds. It seems like he's probably suited to play just about every other position with where he is right now. Mm-hmm. Then running your show. Will he bring it up? Sure, because Penny's going to have an offense where multiple guys can bring it up. We're going to see that all the time.
Right.
But when it comes to running a show and being an actual point guard, I doubt we see much of him at that spot.
Yeah.
Again, to John's point, you've got so many already doing that for you already.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But it is sort of – it does sort of bring it home. You know, there has – it is – it's nice to hear, right? Like, you never know how it's going to go when you have three coaches, even if Penny was an AAU, right? Even if he was sort of knee-deep in that game. You never truly know how it's going to go with Mike had never been involved in any level, right, in coaching or, mm-hmm. I mean, that this was a first for him. Sam Mitchell was an NBA guy. He wasn't, you know, going out and doing college stuff. He was involved a little bit in AAU, but that was the extent of it. And it does sound like they have improved, you know. It does sound like they have improved sort of on the job, in just a year's time, you know. And it sounds like, you know, other coaches are most certainly noticing.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, the key is if you get him, that if you're Penny and that staff, you want to improve that kid's draft chances. You want to improve what he's looking like in terms of the lottery, in terms of 2020. Right now, we've talked about he's 8 or 9. It's perfect because if you can get him and you can push him up to 5 or 6, you look around, the rest of the nation's recruits see that. They'll say, okay, Penny Hardaway, Mike Miller. They're going to improve my situation. Now, again, you look at that, you apply it to James Wiseman, who's already won. We talked about this sort of dynamic and how there's pressure on Penny, right, to get these kids drafted should he get mm-hmm. a Precious Achiuwa to go with James Wiseman. That becomes a big part of this. I mean, we can't state it enough. You get these guys, there's a pressure that comes with it, but it's a pressure that Penny invites. We know that.
And, you know, that's certainly something that you would, yeah, you'd rather have it than not have it.
No question about it. You want that problem. It's a problem that Kentucky has every year. It's a problem Duke has every year. This is the problems that the elite programs have. It's
one. Yeah.
This is why guys like that we saw talent from and lots of flashes of potential like Antoine Jones, you know, it stings a little bit when you hear after you've seen that potential and you've seen the size, hey, he's headed out of your program because you like the investment you made. You like, more importantly, the growth that the kid made
yep.
over time. But these kind of hard decisions have to be made when you are recruiting this kind of talent. And, again, you're not letting Antoine walk out of here without a plan, at least, of bringing in something that's better than him. You've got to believe that. We see who the staff's in on,
yep.
who they're not. You can see the writing on the wall.
You know, if they got...
It's unfortunate for Antoine, but...
Yeah.
You're replacing Antoine with R.J. Hampton, I think most fan base is going to be happy with
He'll
that.
He'll be all right. I mean, Antoine Jones is going to be fine, you know? He's going to go somewhere, and honestly, like, I'm not saying he hasn't dropped down a level, but, like, he can go somewhere else and perhaps even be, like, a featured guy, you know, not just playing 15 minutes a game, playing 25, 30. You know, like, he could actually go somewhere. I feel like there's a place out there for him like that, you know, because he just does so much on both ends. You know, big body, you know, his shooting touch. He wasn't a bad shooter by any stretch of the imagination. Big playmaker. He could go somewhere. I don't know what that school would look like, but he could go somewhere and have a huge role, I feel like. Of course, they're starting that visit today too with Rajon Tucker. So that's the other thing about all of this is that it still feels like there are so many sort of balls in the air.
Still in the air.
You know what I mean? And I don't know when those start to come down. I don't know when those.
Well, in a way, they'll start, you know, May 10th with Lester.
Who's the first domino? Like, that's what I like. Is it really Lester or is it Precious? Is it, you know, because RJ, we know, is not going to make a decision until July. So, you know, is it Precious? Maybe it is.
No, my guess is Lester commits before Precious.
Trendon as well is another guy who we'll see what happens with him. At this point, it definitely feels like everything is trending toward LSU.
Mm-hmm.
He has not yet set an announcement date, but it feels like that's kind of where that one is headed. I mean, anything can happen. Memphis is certainly still recruiting him, but that's just kind of how it feels as of today. Precious and Lester is more the immediate sort of focus and the more immediate reality. But let's just say like they got, you know, let's just say RJ, you know, it's hard to say with him, but let's just say they end up with Precious and Lester, right? Let's just keep it there.
Okay.
And that's the way the rest of the class fills out.
No Tucker. No other,
yeah.
No experience.
Yeah, I'm going to say no Tucker.
I say you need another guard. Well, it'd be nice to have another experienced guard, but go ahead.
If you want to add him in there, for the purpose of this exercise, let's just add him in there then. Rajon Tucker, we add him.
Use some experience.
The class is Rajon Tucker. The remaining part of the class is Rajon Tucker, Precious, and Lester.
Okay.
At that point, you know, you're probably talking about it's a top five recruiting class for sure, you know. And it's probably even better than what the rankings will say it is because you're adding a 20-point scorer in Rajon Tucker who you can't put in a class calculator.
Right.
Are they picked to win the conference?
I think so.
They're picked to win the conference.
Over Houston.
Yeah, it's close, but they're probably picked to win the conference.
Won't be Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Wichita State's still good. And will be improved
be
in
right
top
there.
Five and top four.
They'll be right there.
But they're not ready to be picked the winner of the conference.
Yeah, so they'll be right there. But I definitely agree with you.
With Precious, another potential lottery guy, that pushes you over with what Houston's got, I would think, or at least what they're returning. With what it is right now, John, I'd still call Houston the favorite. With what they've got right now, if you didn't add Precious anybody, Houston clearly, I would say, the one in the AAC right now. You add Precious Lester, I'm pushing you above what Kelvin Sampson brings back.
Yeah. So anyway, you add those guys. You're picked to win the conference. I'm just curious, like, what Memphis fans will accept at that point because you're bringing in one of the most touted rosters ever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make that case for sure. What will Memphis fans accept? Obviously, we know there's going to be a heightened level of patience with Penny because he's who he is,
mm-hmm.
and it does take time to sort of – you know, Memphis has been an irrelevant program for the last 5 years until he took this job. But what is the baseline for what Memphis fans will accept if that is exactly the construction of the roster next year?
I'd hate to say, Penny, you have to get past the first weekend. But isn't that pretty much what it is for in terms of fans and what you'd be disappointed with and what you'd be satisfied with? You would expect a roster of that magnitude
yep.
to get past the first weekend. We know we do a lot of first weekend talk around here. We did with Josh Pastner.
Yep.
There's sort of a bar that you reach with Sweet 16, right? But a bar that you reach where then fans sort of understand, you know what, you can be one of the best 16 teams in the nation and still not win the national championship. Because why? Because winning the NCAA tournament's hard.
Yep.
It's one of the hardest, you know, championships to win in sports, period. Because of the way it's set up and one and done. And you have one bad night, you're out of that thing.
Yep.
I think that's the way they would look at it, though. And maybe it's not just something that's written or put out verbally, but I think in the back of your mind as a fan with that roster, Sweet 16 is the line.
You know, I have to agree.
And again, if you come up short, say you lose in the Sweet 16, you've got a roster that could have made a Final Four push. I think then you've got fans that sort of still kind of know, yeah, it's difficult when you get to this point. But they expect you to get past those first two games, especially if you're a high seed in this tournament. You know what I mean? If you run through the AAC or something, you pull off a four or maybe a three if you had a Houston-like season. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but.
Yeah. I think it could. I mean, maybe you don't win 31 games. Maybe you win 27, 28.
It could with Precious and James Wiseman to go with what you've got already with DJ and those guys. Yeah, you could.
You're so young. And the other part, too, and it's honestly like, here's the other sort of issue that I keep coming back to is like, yes, youth is going to be a problem. I think that's the secondary problem. Look back at this past season. How long did it take Penny? And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, like if he should have found out sooner or not, but how long did it take Penny to figure out his best five? It took him half the season, almost two-thirds of the season, to be honest with you. You know, because he was still trying things. Like, he was still, you know, he was still configuring it. And that's part of it. And he's learning, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But think about how much, like, to me, that was pretty simple to figure out last year if you compare it to what it's going to look like next year. Because next year, think about how many guys have expectations of minutes. Think about how many guys you sort of promised who are going to play point guard. Like, next year's lineups are the ones where it gets real complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another part of it, that when you bring in a class like this with only so many minutes to go around, who plays where, and maybe that becomes obvious early on. I don't know. But I think that on top of the youth it's not going to have anything to do with talent, obviously. It's just are guys going to accept roles and play, you know, play their roles.
I hear what you're saying about Penny and sort of that decision and why it takes so late, because we go into the season expecting Tubby's guys who are back, they've got more experience. You're just going to roll those seniors out there and sort of sprinkle in the freshmen. We thought that was going to be the game plan. Penny let us know early on, no, this preseason, Tyler and Alo, they've outperformed those returning seniors, and that's who I'm going with is the production. And you could make a case that says, well, if you go to those seniors a little earlier, you know, maybe you get a couple more wins here or there. I can see that whole case being made, but look, this is a staff that was, you know, half of it's Tubby's guys, half of it's your guys that you believe in, but you've got them for the first time. It's your first time coaching them,
yep.
Like Antoine Jones. First time down through with them. You don't know what they're like in the wars,
yep.
Through the wars, how they're going to perform, you know, what shots under pressure they're going to be able to hit or not. Can a guy step up and hit three free throws like Tyler Harris did in that situation?
Yeah, that was a big, yeah.
See, you don't know that. You believe in them.
Yeah.
You've seen them on film and all that, but you're coming in, and obviously it's your first year. You don't know them yet. He's got a better grip of what he's got, right? A little bit better grip of what he's got in terms of the guys that are coming back. You've coached them for a year. And again, yes, they're new players, and you can apply that now to the new class that's coming in. Well, he believes in them, doesn't necessarily know, but I tell you, he sort of does. He's coached James Wiseman, has a real good feel,
yep.
For what James Wiseman can do and what sets and running and everything else, his strengths and weaknesses, I'll put it that way. And look, you know, I thought Penny last year, when it came to his coaching, impressed us. I'm not going to lie to you. For those of us that thought that asked the question, can he do this? Will he make the right adjustments?
Right.
You can go back or forth and have a debate on, you know, finally giving it over to the seniors and sort of putting it in Jeremiah's lap, and why did it take that long?
Yep.
But you can also go and look at when he pulled Alex Lomax and sort of what that did for, yeah. Antoine at that point, right? You can look at Isaiah Maurice, who he, quite frankly, could have given up on early in the season because the guy wasn't playing well and, quite frankly, didn't look like he belonged for a while. What did Penny do? He insisted he was going to make him a rim protector. Now, you didn't make him David Vaughn,
right
in terms of rim right. protector. You didn't make him Austin Nichols in terms of rim protector. But my point, he didn't give up on Maurice to the point. And some of you can argue, well, that's all he had. But you could see that kid's confidence level going up.
Especially in the tournament.
No question about it. So whether it was him pulling Lomax and showing us all, well, he's not just tied to his guys, right? He'll make a decision based on performance and production and who's out there.
Right.
That, to me, was good news,
yeah.
for any of us that doubted whether or not Penny could coach.
Yeah.
We knew he was a great assembler of talent at every level he'd been, grassroots, high school, at the U of M, because of all the ties he's got already. What we didn't know is if he could coach. And I think he showed us. I know you can beat him up if you want to about, you know, when he went to the seniors, but I think he showed us this year, this first season of his, that he can coach and he can push the right buttons.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And I came away impressed is the way I'll put it.
And listen, maybe, you know, what we were saying at the time, right, in terms of the when he had the freshmen out there, right, before he sort of decided to go with the all-senior lineup. You know, you want to develop them too because you realize that you need to get them ready. You need to get them ready for the next, you know, for 2019, for 2020, because in the end, James Wiseman's going to be here for one season. You get Precious, he's going to be here for one season. Then those guys move on.
Right.
The guys who are going to ultimately probably determine your tenure, it's Tyler Harris. It's Alex Lomax. It's
the guys in between.
You know, the guys who are going to be here, mm-hmm. you know, for more than just one season. It's you know, those are the guys you're going to ultimately win and lose with. You know, so I can understand from that perspective, too, you know, why you might give them a longer leash, because you need them to improve and you need them to get better. But I do think that's going to be, you know, sort of one of the challenges. It's not going to be – once the games start, I ain't worried about that. You're going to go into, I would say, 98% of the games you play next season with the most talented roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's never going to be the issue for this Memphis basketball program, especially under Penny. He's in a lot of – and wouldn't you rather go into a game with the more talented roster?
Of course.
I don't know anybody who wouldn't. And so that's probably going to be the case. It's just a matter of, I think, defining those roles, finding them. And frankly, again, guys who were coming in ballyhooed with all the decor, you know, they played in the Jordan brand, they played in the McDonald's game.
Yeah.
Guys being willing to take whatever the role may be, even if it's sort of less pronounced than they expected when they committed. That's always – and that's every program, by the way. That's not just a Memphis problem. That's just – that's an adjustment for everybody. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins will join us. We will talk to him about this. We will talk to him about other things as well. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Jeff Calkins. He joins us every single Thursday at this time. He joins us now. Jeff, what's going on?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Draft day is a great day for our franchises, isn't it? It's just what we pay attention to. It's our favorite thing.
For the Buffalo Bills and Oakland Raiders, it has ranked high in the list of annual highlights. For the Chicago Bears, they've moved on to bigger and better things. Getting their heart broken in the playoffs is the next stage. It's a better stage. And so, yeah, I love draft day.
What are the Bills going to do? I need some offensive line talk.
You know, the problem with, like, I love the draft, right? I mean, I love the draft. But I'm wary about talking about the draft because beyond Kyler Murray, like, people want to go, is he going to go number one or not?
Right.
Who the hell cares where, you know, pick whatever offensive lineman it's going to be.
Jawan Taylor.
Is going to go. Yeah, who cares? Right tackle, Florida, Jawan Taylor. Does anyone really care?
Yeah. So,
I mean, it, like maybe, but not really, right? I mean,
yeah.
you can't really spend segments talking about Jawan Taylor, or so that's the problem with the whole. That is the problem with it. I think in this draft, what is interesting?
Well, the quarterbacks.
It's funny though. Like, is Daniel Jones really that interesting?
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Haskins.
But where Haskins ends up, yeah.
You know, Drew Lock to an extent,
kind of.
Haskins, kind of. I mean, Haskins. Yeah, I guess I think that's it. I mean, I'm interested in.
It's like that every year, honestly. It's always about the quarterbacks. It's never about anything else. Like, it's never about the DBs or the D linemen.
Which is better, the NFL draft or the NBA draft?
No, there's no doubt it's the NBA draft. I mean, because the NBA draft, like, you know that first of all, you probably know that player that the NBA team is drafting because there are just fewer of them, you know what I mean, to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big one. Like, you're more familiar with college basketball players than you are college football players, you know what I mean? Like, who the hell knows anything about T.J. Hockenson? Who's watching Iowa football? Not me.
Well, two things. I think you're wrong. I think the NFL draft is clearly bigger and better. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. It gets better numbers, I'm sure. And it's so big that they stretched it out over 3 days, just because of its TV
rating.
That's just
for programming, though. That's just for taking up programming in the dead time.
No, it's because it's popular. It's because people watch it. It is clearly more watched. It's a bigger deal. It's, you know, Nashville's going crazy because the draft is there, right? Who even knows? Is the NBA draft always in New York? I guess it's always in New York, right?
Is it always in New York?
I can't imagine. Oh, I don't know anywhere else it's been.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Here's what the NBA draft has going for it. It's got more John Calipari. I mean, you got to say that. It's got more than the NFL draft. It's got a lot of John Calipari, if you like John Calipari. No, it's got – the guys are – the suits are more of a deal for some reason. I don't really know why, because in the NFL they're wearing suits too, right? But for some reason, like, what they're wearing way back to Joakim Noah's suit, what they're wearing is a bigger deal for some reason in the NBA draft. But the truth of the matter is, in the NBA draft, once you get past pick number six, those guys aren't playing. They're not good. You know what I mean? And whereas the NFL draft, well into the third round, you can pick players who are going to be, you know, possible rookie of the year candidates. And so it's a much – the NFL draft to me is much more meaningful because – you're right. We don't know. It's not because people don't watch college football, because they watch more college football than they watch college basketball. But it's that when you're watching college football, you're not necessarily, until you've really heard, you're not watching Jawan Taylor. Let's just say that. You're not,
right,
you are
right,
not
right, right.
Watching,
like, you know the quarterbacks, you know the running backs. Yeah.
Tennessee, but you're not watching Jawan Taylor. And that's why we talk and play. So, but I actually think, I mean, it's clearly bigger, the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And I think it's more meaningful because many more of the players are able to come in and have an impact. Whereas, you know, whatever, you get into the – certainly you get into – once you get into the teams in the NBA draft, it's like, whatever, we're not going to see those dudes. They're not going to be good. They're not going to be playing. They're almost certainly not going to be good. Occasionally they are. Like, Giannis is good. There's no question about that. But pretty typically, whatever. Maybe it'll be a Hakeem Warwick, but they really got him at 21 or something. There's decent players to be had, but there's only like five impact players, and that's it, and then you're done.
That's true.
And so I find it to be, and plus I don't know why they do the trades. They delay the trades with the NFL. They in the NFL, if someone jumps up and is drafting someone, you know exactly what's happening when it's happening. The NBA, they delay the trades for some reason. I don't really know why. Anyway, I prefer the NFL draft, but I know lots of people prefer the NBA draft.
As a Bears fan, it took me a while to warm up to Trubisky, my belief level in him. Where are you in that process? I'm just curious for this last Bills question. Where are you in that process with Josh Allen? Do you believe? Do you still going to take a little bit more? You feel good about him? Do most Bills fans?
I'll always lament that the Bills, when they had the opportunity to pick Patrick Mahomes, didn't take Patrick Mahomes. Instead, they said, "Let's load up on draft picks so we can move up in the better quarterback draft the next year." And then they went up and got Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are now hopeful about Josh Allen. But listen, he's
not
Patrick Mahomes.
It does,
no,
if you're always going to compare him to that, you'll never be happy.
I have changed from being deeply skeptical to being hopeful. I am hopeful. Am I optimistic? That's a different thing. I don't think I'm optimistic yet. I'm 50-50, and I'm hopeful. He was better at the end of the year, and so, but I'm probably like you were on Trubisky.
That's it. It's a process.
Going into this year.
Yep. Hopeful.
Right?
Exactly.
Hopeful, but kind of skeptical.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was.
How do you think I'm feeling?
Kind of where I am. I think, I don't know how you're feeling. Here's the problem is that you've got Derek Carr. I don't understand why they're not just happy, but now there's talk that the Raiders might take Haskins. How are you going to feel if the Raiders take Haskins?
He says he's out.
I said I'm done with the regime if they draft a quarterback.
He's going to be out, Jeff, because you know Gruden's doing it.
Are you allowed to do that? Emotionally, I don't think you can.
No, I'm out on the regime. I'm out on believing and trusting in the regime. I'll still be a Raider fan, but in terms of like this actually working out, no, I'll be out. I'm done. I mean, I just don't. I think you have a quarterback who is in a prove-it year. It doesn't make any sense for me or to me to try to expedite that process. You can go if he's bad, you'll be in a good draft position. You can go draft Tua, you know, so next year. So I don't understand why. I think we have a quarterback. I think there are teams out there who absolutely need quarterbacks. I can go through them. I think the Broncos need a quarterback. I frankly need you. I think you need a quarterback. I think the Lions will probably need a quarterback at some point. The Giants
The Dolphins clearly need a quarterback.
Yes.
The Giants clearly need a quarterback. The Redskins need a quarterback. You don't have to be throwing me in there yet.
He's a great running back.
There are teams that definitely need a quarterback.
I don't think we're one of them. I don't think we're one of them, and I think if we wasted our,
but
you know.
If they fundamentally don't believe in him, right?
It's stupid, though, to feel that way.
If they don't believe in him, why let him lead you to a 6 or 7 win record this year, which will take you out of the Tua sweepstakes. Mm. Why not just go ahead and get your quarterback now?
But why do you trust? Why do you trust John Gruden?
And you know he's going to find him one he likes because he likes everybody.
I trust Mike. I watched John Gruden's quarterback TV show.
Yes.
And yeah, he's a quarterback. He's like a quarterback analyst. He's made his bones being a quarterback analyst. Hey, look at this. Like, yeah, right. You know, you're a leader, right?
Exactly. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm putting more trust in them. So with the new, now that they've got Mike Mayock there, and they've got a new staff and everything else. So that's why I don't think they're going to. Do you believe they're? I don't believe they're going to draft. They're going to – I think it's
– I can't rule out anything with
them. They want someone to come up and get Haskins is what they want.
Yeah, I'm hoping that is true. I'm hoping that is true. We are, of course, talking to Jeff Calkins. He is the sports columnist over at the Daily Memphian. You can hear him from 9 to 11 every day on this station. The City of Memphis Bicentennial is coming up, Jeff. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's coming up next month, I believe, May 22nd. How often do you find yourself thinking about the Egyptian amusement park that could have been?
I spent a lot of time on the Egyptian amusement. No, what is the?
Remember, wasn't it Sidney Schlinker? He was going to do. It was called like Rockopolis or something. Rockopolis or something.
I wasn't. I don't recall that. I recall Sidney Schlinker was supposedly a con man, and he was supposed to have a inclinator go to the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And people laughed about him, but he'd been run out of town before I got here, and I don't remember where was the amusement park going to be?
It was going to be in the pyramid, I thought.
There was going to be an amusement park inside the pyramid.
You never remember that, Jason?
I don't remember that part.
There
was going to be a Hard Rock in there at one point, I thought.
People out there remember Rockopolis. I know there's people out there who remember what they were like. They were supposed to be like a dark ride, like Egyptian themed ride.
How do you feel about Memphis as it's about to turn 200? I feel like I should take it to Disney, honestly. But beyond that, how do you feel about Memphis? I think Memphis on a plane, if it has a stroke,
I'm going to say it the way I think somebody who was a diplomat would say it. We've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go.
That about sums it up.
That's how I think most diplomats would put it.
Do you feel good about the city of Memphis?
Yeah, I love Memphis.
I do when I don't think about
the
Nashville.
Progress?
I think we made progress.
I think we're still shrinking as a city.
I don't care about that.
Well, you don't want growth. You don't want prosperity. Prosperity.
We're on the move.
We're gonna get there.
Businesses coming.
Are we on the move?
Jim Strickland says Memphis has momentum. Are you calling Jim Strickland a liar?
Oh,
no, I would not. I would not call Jim Strickland a liar.
How can we fix the population shrinkage?
Rockopolis sounds like it would be.
I really believe that would actually bring people here. I think that was a great idea.
Yeah, no, I think Rockopolis would stop the. No, I feel good about Memphis. I am so happy every time. I've said this before, but whenever I leave town to go to some bigger, grander, supposedly city, I'm so happy to come back to this very livable place where there's really no traffic and easy to live and low cost of living and nice people. And I don't want to live in Nashville. I want to live in Memphis. So I actually feel pretty good about Memphis. I do. I do know that we have vast chunk of this city that lives in poverty, and I don't know how to fix that. If I did, I would, but I don't. And so, and from that comes crime and other issues that our challenge, but I think at 200, as a great man once said, I think we've come a long way, but have a long way to go.
That's right.
Jeff, I always thought it was difficult as a writer to capture the essence of someone when I didn't know them or didn't watch them, and I know all that applies to you and Johnny Newman, and yet you do it, and it's part of the genius, part of why you're such a great writer. Coming across and listening to all of the stories that you have about Johnny Newman over your time here, it's a great column, by the way. How close is he to the best basketball player Memphis ever produced? Where's he at on that list? How high is he?
Well, it's funny because when I was thinking about writing this, I heard Johnny Newman died, and I said I wasn't here. Like I know I
right, it's
and
hard.
I wasn't gonna write about it because everyone has so much wrapped up in memories of people.
You won't
and
mess it up.
Yep. It just didn't resonate. I mean, I can't, and so what I did was I started talking to people who knew him, because that's the only way you could do it. And then once I talked to enough people who knew him, then I said, okay, I'm just going to let them carry the day. You know, I'm just going to let them. And so then you get the story from his high school buddy who says they're hanging out at near Old Colonial at this girl's house. She had a basketball court there and whatever. And literally her mother would stick her head out the – had a head out the door and say, Johnny, Coach Wooden's on the phone. And so you get these stories about how great he was, and you get the comparisons to Maravich, slightly less flashy, but that kind of player. I mean, you look at the numbers, they're insane. 63 points against LSU, 60 points against Baylor, average 40 points a game in the SEC. That's nuts. And then, of course, I was able to talk to my friend Fred Blos, John. I knew you'd be glad to hear that. He guarded Johnny Newman once.
Wow.
And Fred Blos guarded Johnny Newman once. I didn't put this in the column. And held him scoreless.
Whoa.
I did. And I,
that would have been a little too much love for you for Fred Blos.
That's an accomplishment.
He did say, I never told anyone how long I guarded him. It was for roughly 2 minutes. At the end of the game, he held him scoreless. What I get from people is that he was every bit, certainly the prolific high school player that Larry was, and probably more so, right?
Yeah.
Probably more so. He would have been, if they had played together. There was a John Virgos at the bottom of my column posted a comment that the story goes, I don't know if this is true or not, but the story goes that the reason Johnny Newman didn't go to Memphis was his older brother had played for Memphis and was a very good player and was done playing, but was still a semester away from getting his degree, and Memphis wouldn't pay for that semester. And so he told them, I have a little brother, he's going to be awesome, and he's never going to play for Memphis State. I don't know whether that story is true or not, but that's the one that John Virgos has heard many times. So you get the sense that if Johnny Newman had been on the same team as Larry Finch, Johnny would have been the leading scorer on that team. That's, you get that. He's a born scorer, and certainly every bit the high school player he was. Now, people who saw Johnny Newman and saw Penny say, yeah, okay, that's where there's a separation. Right. Like Penny's different. Like there's Penny, and then there's a group that is Johnny Newman and Larry. And I didn't see him in high school. And it's sort of interesting to think about James Wiseman in that too. Like he's not a Memphis kid that he wasn't born here and whatever. Well, I didn't see Johnny Newman wasn't born here either. He moved here from Ohio.
Well, we found out we think James is, he told the Undefeated that was actually born here, just grew up in that.
Here.
It was news to me too, Jeff. Yeah. Which I guess we could put him back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we put him back in. But I mean, he will be sort of one of, Lorenzen didn't come here. He was in Oxford, right? Wasn't Lorenzen in Oxford until his,
he got to BTW,
So, I don't know what it requires, but I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of phenomenal players coming out of here. But I think it's, from what I gather, it's hard to say that any of them you would say are clearly better than Johnny, except for maybe Penny. And again, I haven't talked to people. I don't know what Keith Lee was like in high school. I'm sure he was awesome. And are we counting West Memphis or not? Are we counting West Memphis
I think we can in this instance, right? And they went undefeated for two straight years. I want to say over there, maybe it was longer than that. Maybe it was three with Keith and Michael Cage,
right,
on those West Memphis teams.
I mean, you hear so much about Keith in college and how unstoppable he was in college, and so maybe he was sort of I don't know, as a high school player on a different level, but. And then, of course, the story with Johnny is the story as old as time. It's that when you are that good, I got an email. I'll share it anyway. I don't know if we're sharing confidence or not. I just got an email from someone who said when Johnny was 19 or 20, he lived in this apartment, and this person's wife, I think, ran the apartment building where he lived. And when he moved out, one of the things that he bought and left behind was a soft toilet seat with nude women on it. You know, like it was decorated with pictures of nude women. It was there. And it was like, the message was he was a very young 19-year-old, you know? And so he gets all this money and he's out there buying soft toilet seats with nude women on them. And cars and whatever else, and he's not going to class, and people aren't making him. And therefore, he never develops, it sounds like, I didn't know him, but he doesn't develop the sense of discipline and teamwork and self, you know, sort of, it really is self-discipline that could make him the success that he thought everyone needed him to be. And instead, he was, I mean, in the end, you have to take control of your own life. You can't just blame it on others. But when you're treated that way your whole life, it's easy to to become what Johnny became, and I think it sort of resulted in potential that was not fully realized.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, always appreciate the time.
Great column. Thank you for this, Jeff.
Best of luck tonight. Bye. Yep, he is Jeff Calkins. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Like Royce, my brothers, and all of my bitches, they loyal to me, yeah.
All right, so this weekend, you're going to be able to get 60% off anything in the showcases at the Robert Irwin Jewelers in South Haven location. They're located in the South Lake Center at the corner of Goodman Road and Airways. This is the last 60-minute 60% off sale for the whole year. This is the real deal. It's not up to 60% off. It is a true 60% off everything sale. So for 60 minutes, starting at 11 a.m., you're going to be able to get 60% off store. Why? That means anything in the showcase is 60% off. You got to be in line between 11 and noon to be admitted into the shop. No cases are going to be replenished, so when it's gone, it's gone.
Yep, you get 60% off designer jewelry. You get it off engagement rings. Men, those of you that are ready to pop the question, or maybe you need to get ready because this is 60% off. You just have it ready when you're ready. Brand name watches as well, men. We've had some listeners tell us already they've taken advantage of a couple of these 60-minute 60% off sales. This is the last one, as John said, so you should take advantage. It's at the South Lake Center, the corner of Goodman Road and Airways. And, of course, you can get Le'Veon, Daphne Diamonds, Too Beloved, Imagine Bridal, all of the designers, hundreds of items, all on sale. Must be in line. Very specific instructions, as John said. I will repeat, 11 a.m. to noon this Saturday to be able to shop. You come after noon, you can't get in the line. You can't get in. The last time they're doing it, Howie's got the special financing available up to 6 months interest-free. That's how they do it over at RIJ. It's this weekend only. For complete details online, you go to rijewelers.com. Again, the South Lake Center at the corner of Goodman Road and Airways.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Appreciate Jeff Calkins for joining us there in that last segment. Larry Ray just popped in and covered preps for such a long time at the commercial appeal. Said Johnny Newman was the best he had ever seen. And at one time he made Adolph Rupp wait outside.
I like that story.
You do? You like that story? Mm-hmm. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us there in that last segment. The NFL draft is tonight.
Ooh, yeah. Actually, I have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, will you even turn it on?
Other than seeing if Kyler goes first, and everybody seems to still think so, even though there's a whole lot of smoke out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whole lot of smoke out there, John. Can you see through it? Are your Raiders trading up to get him?
I certainly hope
you have fears that they will.
Yeah, because listen, I mean, I've talked to some people about this. Like, how is he going? Like, he is, you know, how many Russell Wilsons are there in the world? You know what I mean?
I said that. I get that. I understand that. My whole thing is, you telling me that this guy that everybody says is a stud
you're not willing to trade two picks up to go get him and have him in the back of Derek Carr should that fail?
It's not again? Just it's not two picks. It's another pick, though. It's another pick's going to have to come with it, though. So it's two picks, you know, to go up three spots to draft, you know, a guy who's not going to be Drew Brees, who's not going to be Russell Wilson, you know? I mean, who knows?
You don't know that. We've said it's hard to be them. But again, he's number one for a reason. He's been a stud all of his life.
Would he be drafted number one if his college coach wasn't, you know, wasn't the coach of the Arizona Cardinals? You know, I think that's another question. I don't think Dwayne Haskins.
You'll know when the Raiders trade up to get him.
I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to be there for Washington. I think Dwayne Haskins is not making it out of the top six or seven. You know, I think because quarterbacks are just such a premium, man. They just are, and you end up kicking yourself when you're the Bills and you pass on Patrick Mahomes. And then, you know, next year you end up with Josh Allen because you didn't take a quarterback. You have to take a quarterback until you find one. I think the Raiders have one. Maybe they disagree. We will see. At any rate, let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
I think Laura Rutledge said this morning somebody was doing something bold, sending what I'm watching, but she said this morning on Get Up, John, she thinks somebody's going to trade up to three with the Jets and get a Drew Lock. So this whole thing about quarterbacks and, you know, folks get – you know, you get bubbling when it comes to the quarterbacks. People get itchy,
yep.
And they're willing to do things that normally wouldn't be. We moved up a spot just to get Trubisky. We were so scared somebody was going to take him. Anyway, I'll be watching tonight, Nuggets, Spurs, watching our man, Will Barton. This series, I guess you could say, has been one of the better series. This last game wasn't. The Nuggets took the 3-2 lead. This game's down in San Antonio. They are favored tonight by 3 points. I suspect it'll be good. I figure Denver goes ahead and closes out tonight, though.
Yeah, and that's definitely a good one. John, you checking anything out tonight?
My mother is a saint and is a great cook and is a football fan, all those things. She has prepared a delicious home-cooked meal tonight. I'm going over to her house, and we are watching the draft.
Man, that sounds beautiful.
It really does. I'll be watching the draft tonight. This is an important night for my franchise. This is going to be the night that determines whether I'm in on this regime or out on this regime. Now, obviously, you know, I have certain guys I want. Like, I'm happy with Josh Allen. You know, I like them to take a defensive back. I don't mind Daryl Henderson there in the first round or, you know, at the beginning of the second. But if they trade up to draft a quarterback, I'm done. I mean, I just can't.
You're
just
done with the regime. You're still a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the team.
You were going all the whole time. We got to a Jeff. You react like the whole time you're out on the Raiders.
I mean, I can never be out on the Raiders as much as I would like to be. And it would probably be better for my mental health if I was.
It would be. Just be a Titan.
Nope, that's equally miserable, if not worse, because they're, you know, they have no tradition, as we've talked about. You know, they're the best thing they can say about their franchise is they came up a half yard short. Like, that's the best thing that you could say about their tradition. Congrats. I'm sure that means something to you when you lay your head down at night. I'm sure that's something that, you know, you appreciate and cherish.
How dare you?
We've got three world championships to celebrate. And our history.
Man, that stuff is old.
Our history.
Old glory.
Our history. I'd rather have old glory than no glory. Our history of players that have put on that uniform, I mean, it's not even close.
They're more relevant than you right now.
I just don't think so. I think we're both non-playoff teams, and we at least have the tradition. But anyway, I'll be checking it out tonight. It's a defining, shaping night for the franchise and for our future, and for John Gruden, too, for sure.
Don't blow it.
Yeah, it's the first time we've had three draft picks since, I believe, 88 or 89. And
three
that was
first-rounders? You've had this before?
Yeah, and that's the year we drafted. Tim Brown, Hall of Famer. So maybe we'll get that lucky again. That's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by the Wing Guru. Stop by if you are hungry. Thanks to our guests who joined us today, Mike Wallace. Thanks to Derrick Henry. We'll always remember you, Carlos, and Jeff Calkins. Thanks to Jeff Calkins for joining us. That's going to do it for us. Eric Hass signs up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.